So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where comedy writing professionals ask each other questions and give each other answers in ways that many are describing as peak bestie. I am one half of that podcast, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and host of the podcast Dead Presidents, available on Stitcher Premium, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I work for the show called American Dad as a writer, and I've got another podcast too. I've got other ones going on. It's no big deal. Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. For a limited time, you can unlock up to 20% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/QQ. Thanks to Canva Pro for supporting Quick Question. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Get a free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/QQ45.
Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at hawthorne.co and use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Now, the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 Modern Bidet Attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. HelloTushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping.
Do you want to list them right now, or should we do plugs at the end, right?
Yeah, we'll do plugs at the end. Now give me time to make up the names.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of time to come up with podcasts.
You're doing another podcast?
No, I did another podcast for a network called Howl.fm a number of years ago. And I just recently was like, oh, I should see if that still exists anywhere in the world. And Howl.fm does not exist anymore. The podcast lives on Stitcher. It's 5 episodes. One day, it might be wise for me to invest in securing the rights to a podcast that carries my name, features exclusively my writing and research and voice, and includes guests that were 100% people in my phone that I got.
Yeah. Is this the podcast that I did a pilot with you for?
That's right.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was out
and
of my
we'll
hands.
Never see the light of day.
No.
That was a great episode that no one will ever hear about.
It was, yeah. I didn't realize it was going to be an episode that we didn't... I think there was... our producer let us know that we might never air that episode and it might be a test episode, but I thought once our shared charisma is found and felt, there's no way this is going to end up on the shelf. And then it just was. You were yeah. Bumped by Hannah Hart.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I think that probably the higher ups knew that I wasn't quite a get, because wow. The other people on that show included like the lead singer Fall Out Boy and Hannah Hart, famously of the internet,
yeah.
And a bunch of very famous people that you have had for whatever reason bumped into in your life, and that's fair. That's fair that old Soren sit up on the shelf and collect dust.
Yeah. But, you know, I could tell there was something there, so we started this whole podcast that no one can shelve, no matter how fucking hard we try. We're going to get into this show.
You really do.
This one's going to be a little bit different. I have just like a definitely a quick update, because as DOB's devotees will recall that I talked about doing a race on this show. Did I ever talk about that?
Yeah, you did.
Will devotees remember that? And that race was last Saturday.
Well, you should explain. This is a foot race.
It was a foot race, yeah.
Yeah. And how far was it, 5K?
It was just a 5K, yeah. It was just something that I saw there was one near me on my home turf. And so I signed up for it because I wanted something to train for. And this got me out of just like running for running's sake, which I still love and still miss while I was training. But like... do really focus speed training and try to beat my like a mental barrier that I had, because I wasn't really keeping track of what my personal record was before, but over training I was like, okay, the thing that I want to do is beat 24 minutes. And Soren,
yeah,
I did.
What was your time?
23 minutes and 37 seconds.
You blew it out of the water.
I did. And here's a trick that I want to impart to all of our listeners for what I think was incredibly helpful for me to do this, because my older brother David ran a 5K like a month and a half before I did, and destroyed my record, but also had like in his head he wanted to do around 24, 23 minutes. So he created a Spotify playlist that was exactly as long as like as too long would be. From in my case, it was 24 minutes. And he used that when he was training, and he used that to know like when he's in the race, okay, it's the last song in my playlist. That tells me if I got this or not. And I thought that was super helpful for training. And I was really excited to build an exactly 24 minute playlist. And I wanted to share it with you and our listeners. And I also wanted to, I told you in advance to make your own 24 minute playlist. So this is a playlist that if your goal is to run very fast in 24 minutes or less than 24 minutes, what is your pump up playlist?
Yes.
Have I done, is that explanation long enough?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly as long as it needed to be. You have to explain that in the same way that, what's that, Driver Baby? What's that movie? Baby Driver?
Yeah, there was a 50-50 shot of getting that right.
That in the same way that he has a songs that are specific to the amount of time that somebody's going to spend in doing a bank heist, this is a really great idea for this song. This group of songs should take you the exact amount of time to do your run. And, you know, hopefully it is the type of music that will make you run faster.
Yes, it serves both of those purposes. And the third purpose itself serves is if you fail, then you have to finish the race in total silence. Like that's the last insult I went over 24 minutes, which was always a possibility. If I went over it, then I just have to sit there being wrong and like left with nothing but my thoughts about my wrongness. So
let's see, your splits, 7:34, something like that.
Let me pull them up. Do you want to vamp while I pull them up on my app?
Yeah. So I was very excited to do this, by the way. I spent way too much time doing this particular homework because as I started to do it, like I started to create a list, realized there were a lot of songs I was putting on there and I had way too many to begin with. And then I thought, songs I really like and songs I think I'd really enjoy, but they're not right for specifically a 24 minute run. Yeah. Like there's going to be a musical interlude in them that's going to drag me down, or the song is just too long. Like just would, like Bombs Over Baghdad was a song I considered putting on there because it moves so fast.
That's like an 8 minute song. What is that?
But it's way too long. And there's like that rocket head, rag top, rocket head, like that whole chant in the middle of it where it's just like, no, I wouldn't be able to listen to this. I need them to get in and I need them to get out fast.
Yeah.
And then like on to the next song.
My split's 7:37.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did I just do great math?
I think you did.
But that was another thing I found that was troubling with this task.
Oh my God.
Adding up the song minutes.
Because the thing, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know this, but like the numbers don't go to 100. So no. You can't do times to a calculator, as far as I know.
Yeah, you can't just put it like a 2 minute and 54 second song. You can't put 2.54.
No.
You'll fuck yourself. But so what I ended up doing was counting up all the seconds and then dividing that by 60. So I had like a somewhat of an idea of like how many minutes plus, like if it was like 15, oh, great. I mean, if it was like 25, I know that that's going to be a quarter of a minute. But so I got those and then I added up all the minutes and then added and did some like rough math and then put it together. And I was like, oh no, I did it. I nailed it.
Yeah. I spent way too much time, A, because I was like really trying to put thought into what was going to help me in this race, and B, just being like, okay, this is 27 minutes. That's no good. So I'll have to lose this song. That puts me down to 22 minutes. Okay. Let me add this song. Well, that's 28 minutes. All right. Yeah. Maybe if I lose one of these other songs and just like, I refused to do any math for a while. I was like, maybe it'll just magically work out if I just start hacking and adding different songs.
And you also can't, there's songs, like you can't just have a bunch of bangers. You can't just have a go, 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 ghost list because that's also, you got to anticipate where you're going to be pacing yourself and stuff like that in the race. And boy, I don't want to say I nailed it, but I understood the assignment.
Yes. I'm not gonna play you all of my songs. I'm gonna play the ones that I'm pretty certain you don't know.
Okay.
And the first one is a Wolfpack song. Gets me started off. I think you'll hear, if you listen closely, you'll hear that the song starts with a subtle jet plane taking off, which really, really helped set the mood of how fast I want it to be.
Okay.
And we're gonna play about 20 seconds or so of this. It's Conscious Club by Wolfpack. It's got a really weird start with like...
Yeah, you got a sketch at the like beginning.
The skit. But it's... I love the bass groove in it. And then like once that Welcome to the Conscious Club starts in, then I'm really like ready to move because it's got a nice active beat. But also just like it's cheerful. It's not one of the more aggressive ones yet. And I like starting off with kind of like, yeah, we're having a good time. Remember that running is fun and we're having a good time.
Yes.
Moving right through my list, the second song, I'm assuming you know. Do you know Beating Heart Baby?
No.
Oh, really? Oh.
No.
We'll play a little bit of this. This is by Head Automatica, and this is right into I need to move fast, and I need to move hard. Beating hearts, baby. Baby, is this love for real? Hearts, let me in your arms to feel the beating of your heart, baby. What I like about it is it stays mostly that for most of the entire time. It's like bonk, 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 bonk.
Yeah.
And it was good. And the next one you don't, I'm sure you know, is probably the most obvious pick on here, Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen. I shouldn't have to explain that's why that's great.
That I'm sure you get the minute you Google good songs to run to.
Absolutely. Google doesn't even like send me the results. I start Googling songs to run to, and then my whole computer just starts playing it. And then I get up and I run. And that's, it's such an obvious pick. It's also, it's Bruce Springsteen. He's a Jersey boy. I'm not even the biggest Springsteen fan on the planet, but I feel like I owe it to him and to myself to have him be a part of this journey for me. The next one is The Last Polka by Ben Folds 5, a song that has come up on this podcast before, but for different reasons. And I'm gonna skip ahead to one of the parts of the song that this is getting close to the halfway point or a little bit past that in the race. And this is just a part of the song that shows up around there that gets me super amped. I'm at this point of the race screaming.
Yeah. Well, you've got somebody going to town on a keyboard, which is like your Achilles heel there. Like you will always bow to that.
Which brings us neatly into my fifth of seven songs in this playlist. This one you definitely haven't heard. It's Melinda by Jason Robert Brown. I'm realizing how a lot of these don't sound good for the assignment.
I'm just thinking in my head how you and I get hyped in totally different ways.
Yeah. I'll explain some methods after we're done with the list. Really quickly, the last two. What I found very valuable when I was assembling this list was out of frustration, Googling songs that are only 1 minute long. And there's like a pre-made Spotify playlist that's great for that because I was shy a minute from my total. And I knew I wanted to end on The Distance by Cake, which is another as obvious as Born to Run was closing with The Distance. But before that, I needed a 1 minute song. And To Be the Best by Tenacious D really fit that bill. To be the best, we got to could argue that the entire list should have been that.
That's a montage song. That is a song that's designed to be a training montage song.
Yeah.
So that fits perfectly. Have you heard of the band Me First and the Gimme Gimmes?
Oh, of course.
So they do a lot of very, very short, like one minute and 5 second songs.
I mean, they're exclusively a cover band.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And they do very quick versions. And then there's old like punk records. I don't know if Nitro put it out, but it was a short music for fat people or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a bunch of songs like that. A bunch of songs that were 1 minute 12, 1 minute 5, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm realizing now, looking at my list, with obvious exceptions of like Born to Run and The Distance and that Tenacious D song, they're songs that I put on there because they pump me up in like a physical way, but also they're good like mental escape songs for me. Of like that Jason Robert Brown Melinda song is like, he's a musical theater guy, and this is from one of his solo, like just music albums, and that's a song that's like a big storyteller song. It's set in a time and place, and it just really gets me amped in less of a Tenacious D, you're the strongest guy and the fastest guy in the world, and more of just like, I can disassociate and live in this world for a little while, and somehow that makes me faster.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you, how important are lyrics to you?
It goes back and forth. Like that, I can't tell you what the lyrics of that Tenacious D song are.
Yeah, okay.
And the Last Polka gets me amped because I love that song. The lyrics are about what seems like a pretty rough breakup.
Yeah. And that one's not your... So you put that kind of in the middle, though, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
I would... You know what I should have done before this that I will do after this now and then not share with anyone is I can look at... I can see on my app what miles I was slowest on, and I want to see where I am in the music at that point
That's a great idea.
See what really fucked me up.
Will you do me a favor and play, like, the last... 12 or 10 seconds of The Distance? I want to hear what the very end of it sounds like. Like, what you're sprinting through at the end.
It's a pretty solid end.
Yes, it is. There's just like that little dead heartbeat at the end.
Obviously, I finished the race before that dead heartbeat.
And so you also had to suffer the punishment of finishing the race in silence.
No, I finished the race and like could end the music early.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the goal, the real goal is to beat the playlist.
Yeah.
Okay. And the like the most telling thing for me was by the time The Distance starts, I know that's 3 and change. And that really tells me how much harder I need to push from where I am, or if I at that point know that I have it in pocket. And at that point I knew I had it in pocket.
Hey, it's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially now because so many places are dealing with backups. They've got shipping containers sitting off the coast of Los Angeles just waiting to get in, and they can't right now. So, because today is a good day to start shopping, you can save big on a gift that they will use over and over, Raycon wireless earbuds. Whether you use them to pump you up or wind down or work or to work out, Raycons are my go-to for an on-the-go audio experience. We're teaming up with Raycon, and for a limited time, you can unlock up to 20% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/QQ. The things I like most about my Raycons is that the Bluetooth pairing is seamless and easy. If my phone's connected, all I do is take the little earbuds out of their case, put them on my ears. Immediately, I hear the Raycon noise, and it says connected. I don't have to do anything else with my phone, and if I want to connect them to my little MP3 player, it's just as easy. I just tell my phone to forget it, and Raycon automatically connects to that and pairs with it when I want to go for a run and I don't want to carry my phone like a maniac. The audio quality is amazing. It's comparable to what you get from other brands, except Raycon starts at half the price. And the new everyday earbuds come with 3 new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best. It's just the right amount of bass. And now I am a big fan of bass because I'm generally listening to my Raycons when I'm at the gym or I'm out running. And I want to hear that kick drum. I want to set my pace to that kick drum. I want it to sound like my heart, folks. And that's what I get from my Raycon earbuds. There's lots of reasons for me to love my Raycons, including 8 hours of playtime and 32-hour battery life. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. So pick up a pair for yourself, and trust me, you're going to use them every day. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/QQ. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. You can choose from thousands of professionally made templates, which are easy to customize with a simple drag and drop feature, or you can just start from scratch. Canva Pro comes with endless premium fonts, photos, videos, and more elements that can give your piece the personality and style that it deserves. You get all of this and more with a Canva Pro subscription. With Canva Pro's content planner, you can also save time planning, creating, and posting social media content too. And hey, if it's not just you working on a project, if you've got a whole team, you and up to four teammates can unlock Canva Pro for just $12.99 a month. Now, I have Photoshop on my computer. I am terrible at Photoshop. Anyone who used to read my column knows for sure I am no good at Photoshop and I really desperately needed some help. But if I had Canva Pro back then, I could have looked like a master. Now, when I create a yearbook picture for my son or I do announcements for a party, I know that it's going to be the very best thing people have ever seen in their mailboxes. And it's so easy because all I have to do is drag and drop the things that I want. I don't have a good eye for design. I'll admit that. It's very easy. But you don't need to have a good eye for design when Canva Pro is basically holding your hand through the entire process. It's very easy to add the right photos, to get a border that you want, to get everything organized in a way that's appealing to the eye that I would have never figured out on my own. I need basically a babysitter like this, and maybe you do too. Wow your audience with Canva Pro, the easiest way to create presentations. Get a free 45-day extended trial by going to canva.me/QQ45. That's canva.me/QQ45 to get your free 45-day extended trial. So I don't know, maybe not everyone who listens to this podcast is a runner, which is strange because it's really, that's our core demographic. That 7:30 split, like a 7:30 mile is hard. That's tough because when I go on runs, I mean, I'm not really running for speed, but just in like, if I'm going to go 5 miles, I'm going to do my hardest and I'm going to try my hardest. I know that if I get under 9 minutes, I feel good.
Yeah, this is certainly the fastest I've been in a very long time in my life. And I'm in the same boat with like, when I've run an 850 mile, I've thought, this is the fastest I can be at this age, period. I don't think I could be any faster. So you're right. It is very fast to be doing these sub 8 miles, and I'm proud of them, and also pretty happy that I technically never have to do it again. I can go back to like a pleasant 9 minute mile.
Right. Yeah. You can't. If you ever run one of these again, your instinct is going to be to beat this time, and that's tough.
Then yeah.
Imagine doing this again and not beating it.
I know. And this was. I think really it's a young man's game is what I'm coming up against, because running this race, because it was a sparsely attended race, I was a little bit more competitive than I usually am in a race in terms of like finishing roughly in the top 15, top 20, because there just weren't a lot. It was a 300 person race and I knew what I wanted to do. And as I'm getting to like personal records and stuff there, I'm like, maybe I'm just going to do this for a year. Just do a 5K every month and see what I can do, because I felt good about this. And then I found out that the winner of this race finished in 19 minutes and 2 seconds. And I was like, oh, no, fuck that.
Wow.
That's what a real winner of this race sounds like. No, thank you. I can't.
It'd be interesting to run next to that person and just see.
I can't even like conceptualize of how fast that feels to be running.
That is so quick. I mean, the person is sprinting.
Yeah.
Or they've just got the longest stride in the world.
No, he was a short guy.
Do you find that when you get to the end of your run, do you do the little magic trick where when you want to go faster at the end, instead of just trying to be like, well, I need my body to go faster, you just start pumping your arms faster?
I do. I make my hands knife hands like the T-1000.
Oh, yeah.
Because he seemed real dynamic. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You're turning your body into a sports car at that point. That's smart. That's a good sprinting technique. I've taught my son to do that, and he does it. It's very fun for me to watch.
And it does make him faster.
It will help you to start, because your legs are tied to your hands for whatever reason on your run. And if you just start moving your arms faster, because there's nothing telling you you can't, your legs are like, oh, fuck, we got to keep up. And they'll start moving faster, too. It's a great little trick.
Yeah. Your legs don't want to get left behind.
No, no. The body naturally wants to stay together. It's like a weird instinct.
Yeah.
I think that's a good playlist, Dan. I think that it's not right for me, but I think it's a good playlist.
I think going into this, I was pretty sure that we weren't going to have any overlap of songs. I thought maybe The Distance, because it's such a cliche. Yeah. But I did think I was going to introduce you to songs that would get you very excited, and I don't think I did that.
No,
with a single
first
one of
song
them.
Is a song I will continue to listen to. I'll put that on my sweat mix, which is my like I'm gonna go work out mix. I really
thank
enjoy
God
that.
That's what it's for.
It's so weird. The name of it comes from during quarantine. My wife has started this program on an app called Sweat that like you pay to do, and there's some instructor that takes you through a class basically. And she needed music for it. And we haven't like found new music in 12 years. And she needed songs that would help her on it. And I was like, oh, I'll create a sweat mix for you. And then I started listening to it too, because it was so helpful.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's called Sweat Mix. Well, Dan, I'm gonna take you through mine. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Okay. We are on completely the same page as far as starting off. You want a song that makes you want to move and that makes you feel like it's a good day. It's a good day to be out and you just feel good listening to it. And so my first song is by Katrina and the Waves called Walking on Sunshine. Are you familiar with that one?
And I am familiar with that one. I can't believe post, you know, the thing, Katrina and the Waves hasn't rebranded. Cat and the Beach or something.
Or at least the very least, Katrina and the Levees, the Broken Levees.
Yes.
But just so like it's in people's minds, like it just starts out so great. Now, the issue with that is that it will be very hard for me not to dance a little while I'm on that first part of the run, which like is just like expended energy where like I just want to like move my arms and stuff. Yeah. I want to like dance to it a little. I want to do some hops and things like that.
Man, I can't tell you the temptation to airbase my whole list has.
Now, are you familiar with a band called Electric Guest?
No.
Okay, Yorma from Lonely Island. Yeah, his brother is in a band called Electric Guest. He's the lead singer for this band. And the next song on my list is called This Head I Hold. Here you go.
I'm dancing to this.
So that's a great song that's like fun. It's upbeat. It makes me want to move again. But it's also the songs that I'm starting with are like songs that I wouldn't be sprinting to. They're just songs that make me still excited about running. And they're just slow enough that I'll pace myself to them. Like I'll listen to them and try and run to the beat a little bit. And it will keep me from starting out too hard, which is like a huge problem for me. If I'm going to try and beat a record, my own PR, I frequently come out of the gates too hard, and then by the end, I'm gassed.
Yeah, especially if you're doing a race and there are other people around, and you're just like, you naturally want to run with the people in the group, and then you're like, oh, this feels different. 15 seconds in, your body's like, this isn't how we usually do this.
It's hard when like you start a race and you're like, all of a sudden, you're out in front. You have to be like, oh, no, that can't be right. The next song I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. I know you're familiar with the lead singer because it's a Fall Out Boy song and maybe the only Fall Out Boy song I've ever really like listened to. I think I mean, I've heard them before like the mall and stuff like that, but I've never really sought them out except for this one song. It's called Young Volcanoes. Do you know it?
No.
Okay, here we go. When Rome's in ruins, we are the lions, free of the Colosseums. In poison places, we are anti-venom.
So here's what I'm curious about. Lyrically, this isn't distracting to you? Or is that, or
well,
do you
hold
want
on.
The lyrics to be distracting?
Well, the lyrics get to a point where they make me feel like I need to go faster. I'll let you hear just a little bit more till we get to like the chorus of it, and that will really tell. I think it will explain itself. It's a song about celebrating ourselves. A very specific type of person, but like saying that we're young volcanoes has this effect on me where that's a song I play with my son a lot when we dance in the house, and thinking of him as a young volcano is I like thinking of him that way. I like thinking of him as being just like so full of energy and so full of life that it's just erupting out of him, and I'm like trying to embody that when I'm on this run.
That's adorable.
Now, what about the lyrics do you think are too distracting?
I heard something about a Colosseum, and then I think I heard something about foxes and hens.
Yeah, so he's saying, we are the lions, free to the Colosseum. Like, when Rome's in ruins, we are the lions, free from the Colosseum. So, like, and then, tonight the foxes hunt the hounds. It's all over now. It's just like a changing of the guard, basically.
Okay. It's not, I don't need to keep a dramatist persona in my head of who all the players are.
No, okay. No, it's just about like we are taking over. We are the youth and we're taking over, which is clearly not me anymore, but it's still like I know what that felt like at one point in my life, and I'm like, oh, I know how to access that. I've got a shortcut on my keyboard for that. On my emotional keyboard. Okay, so that's Young Volcanoes, Fall Out Boy. I love that song. I think it's absolutely great.
Yeah.
So I love it so much that I once, for American Dad, we recorded Patrick Stump, and I was so nervous to tell him how much I liked it, and I didn't. I was just like, I can't. It's just, I don't want to sound like I'm fawning over it, and I won't be able to help it if I do, because I like this song so much.
Yeah.
All right.
There are certain artists that have inspired me so much that if I saw them, I would just think, nope. I'm going to cry and shit myself, so I just got to let this opportunity go. I got to just... Yeah. You're not allowed to say hi to
right.
Jeff Goldblum, I guess, is my poll.
You have to think, what good will this do anyone?
Yeah.
If I meet them, it's not going to benefit their life.
Right.
And I'm going to walk away from the circumstance. No matter what, I'm going to walk away being disappointed in what happened. Either disappointed with them or disappointed with myself. Like,
yeah, like, it's definitely not going to change my life, and it might ruin their night.
Yeah.
Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. Hawthorne uses data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect products for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, and lifestyle. I am all Hawthorne all day in the bathroom and shower, baby! I've got their body wash, shampoo, deodorant, face cleanser, moisturizer, two of their cologne, and a bar soap that I love. Just take a short, study-backed quiz and get matched with your perfect grooming kit. I took their quiz and they asked me a bunch of questions about what I wanted out of a soap, out of a deodorant, out of a world, and I answered all the questions honestly and authentically, and they gave me some great products in exchange, and I love them, and I can't see myself ever going back. Not only that, they didn't even ask me to talk about this, but Hawthorne also has great candles. I bought 6 of their candles, and I love every one of them. I'm Team Hawthorne for my candles. My favorite product is the soap. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and using promo code QQ. You'll get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co, promo code QQ for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I've asked you before if your butt's clean enough to sit on the couch naked right now. I don't care about that anymore. I got your answer. I didn't like it, but I got it. I want to ask now, is your butt clean enough to sit on your duvet naked? That's something we all have to do at some point. Maybe you're putting on some socks and you just haven't quite got the underwear on yet. There's a lot of reasons why you might be putting your bare ass on your duvet. And I want to know, how comfortable are you with that? You could be more comfortable than you are right now. If you get a Tushy, the modern bidet that attaches directly to your toilet in under 10 minutes, you can guarantee that your ass will be so clean that you can see your own reflection in it. I promise that. Tushy, the modern bidet company, washes away even the messiest of excrement, leaving you with a better clean than toilet paper ever could. Look, everybody has had some bad experiences in a bathroom before. Heaven forbid it ends up in a bathroom that's not yours and belongs to somebody else. That's a nightmare. But if they have a Hello Tushy, at least you can walk out of that room feeling like you've cleaned your hands of the situation. No pun intended. I mean, I guess you could clean your hands with a Tushy, but I don't recommend it. If you can get that sin off of you, though, you feel safe walking out of that room, and maybe somebody will think somebody else did it. And all I'm saying is, return the favor. Do that for somebody else. Install a Tushy bidet in your own home. We love partnering with Tushy, and we have a deal for you. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off plus free shipping. Using the Tushy couldn't be more simple. You just do your business, you wash, you pat dry, you pull those pants back up, you wash your hands. You're like a brand new person. It feels great. It washes your bum with water for a better clean than toilet paper. The washing is less irritating and more soothing for your old beehole, and it's easy to install and attaches to the toilet in under 10 minutes. You don't need a plumber. You don't need electricity. It's easy. Using a Tushy bidet reduces your toilet paper use by 80%, which not only saves you money, saves the planet, my friend. And also look for the Tushy Ottoman, the sleekest toilet stool designed to help you poop at 100%, 100% of the time. Rated number one by the Wirecutter. And let me tell you, Wirecutter knows their shitters. Also, check out the new Tushy Brush, the toilet brush with a disposable scrubbing pad so you can use a clean brush every time. I love my Tushy because it gives me not only a fresh clean, and I walk away from it each time feeling like I just showered after I shit, which is there a better feeling in the world? I don't think so. But also because as soon as I know that I'm going to do that spray, I'm getting a little extra time on the toilet while I let that dry, where I get to just be on my phone and check things out. You see, outside of the bathroom, I belong to my children, and that's it. I don't have time to be on my phone, and if I am on my phone, they want to see my phone, and then the phone becomes an interesting thing to them, and it becomes something that they fixate on, and then they want it. If I want to play, I got to do it on my own time in the bathroom, and the Tushy affords me just a little bit extra time. So start washing with the Tushy bidet for a better clean. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off plus free shipping. All right, so we're getting into the middle of it now. I needed a good song that I could start to pick up the pace a little bit to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this song is. It's by Janelle Monáe, and it's called Tightrope. Do you know this one?
Absolutely know this one.
Yeah. I'll play just a second of it.
Yeah, no, play the whole thing. Monáe and left foot.
Now, I think of this song as a puddle dodging scene. I mean, a sure. puddle dodging song. This is a song where I am, it's hard for me not to like take steps in each direction. Like I'm juking somebody basically.
Yeah, you're weaving just, through the crowd.
Yeah, it feels like a Nike commercial, that song. That song is like born to be in an ad for running.
Yeah.
It does. I will say that towards the end, there's a moment that she gives to the horns where she's like, hey, here's the hottest horn section and wherever. And it kind of slows a little. Like it starts to drag a little in a way that if you were just listening to it at home, you'd be like, oh, this is really good. But for a run, it starts to feel like it drags a little. So that might be the point where it is basically the middle of my playlist where I would pause. I'd slow maybe a little bit there to like gear up for my finish.
Yeah.
So this next song is the most on-the-nose song that I have here, which is called Jungle Drum. Do you know the song? It's by Emiliana Torini.
No.
Okay.
Man, we listen to a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, we do. It's got like a moment. Throughout the song, she basically does the sound of her own heartbeat, which is like going very, very fast. It's all about like having a fast heartbeat. I'll just play something. Hey, I'm in love.
Oh, hell yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so those little pauses in there really get me going. And just the song is all about, like, I can't stop my feet. And yeah, that's the most on-the-nose one that I have. And that's right at the point where I need it, because that's, I'm now halfway done with the run. And, like, it's really, if I'm behind, like, this is where I have to catch up, and I'm expecting to be behind. And so I need some sort of motivation like this. And then from here on out, it was important to me that the songs get a little bit more frenetic. And mm-hmm. like all these other ones have had like a really good beat to them, like a beat that you could run to. And the ones following this are more just like, they leave the rails a little bit. It's at this point, it's chaos. I need to get through this and I need help.
Yeah. I love how much thought you put into this. Thank you so much for doing this. This is great. Course. This is what I wanted.
So then I did Fell in Love with a Girl by the White Stripes, which, yeah, famous song, very easy to...
Yeah. That really is, that's the Baby Driver, if things have gone wrong part of the movie.
Yes.
That's definitely, I gotta improvise and run through this mall now.
Yeah. I'm at this point, form doesn't matter anymore. Like, my breathing, how I've chosen to pace my breathing for every step, like, that no longer matters anymore. It's just like, we have to get through this as quickly as possible. And then my next to last song, my penultimate one, is a Ween song called I'll Be Your Johnny on the Spot, which I'm confident that you don't know, but it's maybe my favorite fast paced song in the world. It also has maybe my favorite guitar solo in it in the world. And it makes me want to run. It makes me want to move. So that one is fast, and it's got this crazy great guitar solo in the middle of it, and it's a quick song. It's like less than 2 minutes.
I like that we both managed to end on songs with a man in a low baritone basically talking at us.
And then this last song may at first seem like a dark horse, but I'll tell you exactly why I chose it. You're familiar with Neutral Milk Hotel?
Not really, no. I've heard the name before because of Parks and Recreation, but I don't know that I could pick their song out of a Sonic lineup.
They have a... you would recognize them. They've got a very specific sound, and they have an album called Airplane Over the Sea that's maybe like the best conceived album I've ever heard in my life. Just as far as like what songs follow which songs, and the tone of the entire album is cohesive. Anyway, this song is called Ghost from that.
I can hear that being cool. Yeah.
There's some theremin in it and stuff like that. Now, this song is on here for...
I was scared that there weren't really drums in the beginning.
Oh, no. It got to be drums. Yeah. But these are like chaos drums. These aren't like... There's like a good bass pedal that's keeping the beat of the whole thing. It's just like... This song essentially, like, sonically just tears itself apart throughout the entire song. And it's a song that I listen to in my life that makes me feel the most self-destructive.
Wow.
Yeah. And it just has this feel of, there's like some real sadness in it, but that I no longer like care about my corporeal form in a very like high concept way, where it's just like, nothing quite matters. And I think that there's a weird bell curve with running, where at the beginning of a run, you have to be, you want to take care of your body. That's the whole point of going on a run in the first place.
Yeah.
And while you're on it, you have to then reach a place again where you don't care about your body anymore in order to push it to the point where it's like, no, it's telling me to stop and I need to force it through this. And so the same way that I imagine that when you play football and like you're a linebacker, you like to hit, like you have to have such a recklessness and like disregard for your own self-worth that you're willing to throw your body at other human beings. And that's what this song feels like to me. It's got really dark lyrics. It's got a, it's just about somebody dying, but like kind of like realizing that maybe death doesn't matter and it's okay. But it really starts to like destroy itself towards the end. The reason I also picked the song is that there's definite time points in it. I know that when the first horn section, there's like a horn interlude in the middle. When that ends, I'm at 2 minutes away from the end of the song. And then there's another section where there's horns again. And when those horns start, there's 1 minute left. And I'll just let you hear kind of what happens to the song at that point. It's right here. So it's one of those songs that ends in like a big crescendo of just everybody's going to hit their instruments as hard as possible, including a theremin, which I don't even know how you hit it really hard because you're like just playing the air.
Gentle wanding, right?
Yeah. It's like you're not, there's no strings or anything. You're just, your hand is in the air next to this right angled machine. But it really, everyone's just like pounding away and there's still some cohesiveness to it. It's still a song. It's not just this crazy cacophony of noise. So it holds itself together. But it's also just as crazy you can get while still never bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
And I need that at the very end. That's what I want.
That's really cool. That's really interesting that you brought up football players, because there was a great article in The Ringer this week that was trying to dig into why Heath Ledger's Joker is so popular amongst football players. And I thought it would be for like a dumb reason, I guess, because in my brain was like putting professional football players as people who'd like stopped growing up when The Dark Knight came out. So like mentally 16-year-olds who I thought were the people who thought the Joker is really cool. But no, it's these like softer, more sensitive guys who are like, when I'm on that field, I have to be big and scary. I have to be chaotic. I have to be not afraid of anything. I have to be not afraid of Batman. And I have to be dressed like I'm going to war. So I have Joker tattoos and I listen to Hans Zimmer's score from that movie. And I think about the Joker and I play the scene in my head. Sometimes there's a Canadian football player who showed up in Joker makeup to one of his games and didn't tell anyone about it. And there's like Odell Beckham Jr. had Joker gloves for a while that he would put in front of his face and they looked really cool. And it's not just like, again, it's not superficial slapdick, oh, the chaos guy is cool. It's really like, I need to briefly become a different person. I need to transform into this lunatic for a couple of hours for my job, or I won't be able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get to a point where you have nothing to lose. You want to at least feel for a minute like you have nothing to lose, because that's when you will be at your best athletically.
Yeah. And it's also certainly like reading that article, I was fascinated by it and I loved it. It gave me new perspective for the football players who did it. And it also made me think they're better. I can think of nothing more humiliating than for an article to be about like, this is who writers think they are when they're writing. Like, nah, I can't. That can't come out.
Do you have specific music that's a soundtrack to writing?
I think we've talked about this. I listened to... tap dancing a lot. I listen to a lot of noise stuff that I can't put that don't have lyrics or that I can't get caught up in lyrics to. So I listen to tap dancing, and lately, I think after it came up in one of our podcasts, I started listening to a Spotify playlist that is like French cafe lounge.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a lot of like French pop music. So again, I can't get too invested in lyrics, and I just like fills my ears with ambient nonsense.
Yeah.
And I listen to a ton of Wolf Peck and other like lo-fi funk.
Well, you'll be excited to know that I'm going to listen to more Wolf Peck.
Wolf Peck.
Wolf Pack. Am I saying that right? Wolf Pack.
You're getting farther away from it. Mm. But I've converted a new fan, so that's good news.
Yeah. So are there any song? I mean, I'm taking Coyote Herd away from this. Are there other songs from mine that you enjoy?
Yeah, definitely that Neutral Milk Hotel, which is a great song, and also, like, I might be a guy who likes that band now. We'll see.
Oh, boy.
That's, as far as I know, the first of their songs that I've ever heard.
Yeah, you should give, I don't know if it'll be your style or not, but you should give Airplane Over the Sea a chance. That whole album is so, it's so fun to listen to. But yeah. It's also very, very sad.
And you had some great dance tunes in yours too that I might not use for running, but will definitely be a part of my life.
Yeah, check out Electric Guest. I think you'll like them.
Are there any that, I'm going through my list of songs that didn't make the cut. Were there any that were really a real bummer to you?
That I didn't put on there? Yeah.
Yeah, Bombs Over Baghdad.
Bombs Over Baghdad I thought would have been good. Let's see. There was... I'm going to look
for it. I can go first because I also had a Janelle Monáe song on mine. I had Dance Apocalyptic.
Ooh.
And I love that song. It's very long. And... or it's not very long, but there are parts of it that don't go as hard the whole time.
Okay.
And I had to get rid of it for that reason.
I thought that I might put on an Eddie Money song called Think I'm in Love that is like, I think it's from the early 90s or late 80s. And it's a very cheesy song, but it's also one that I like dancing to. And as I was listening to it, I was like, you know what? It's just a dance song. Like it's just a fun song to like, ooh, we're at a wedding. Like this is a great wedding song. And it doesn't have what I need for a run in it. And it just didn't have a place on my list. There's an old Offspring song called Tehran. And Offspring obviously is a little dated at this point, but Tehran is like a fast, great, fun song.
Yeah. There are songs that I wanted to put in just for like the vague idea of branding. Like I wanted to put in something from Broadway there, something like undeniably musical theater. Jason Robert Brown comes close, but I wanted like the prologue to Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah.
But I still like, I couldn't do it. Like the idea of it being very funny to me that one of the songs that pumped me up is fucking Alan Menken. The idea of it didn't trump the fact that the prologue starts with the narrator setting the scene and telling you what's happening. Like, no, I can't run while the guy is like, on the 21st day of September.
I am actually surprised that like Sonic the Hedgehog Casino Night Zone isn't on the list. No, it's good. It means you had an earnest, honest list. Yeah, I looked at a Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck. That's a Run the Jewels song that's got Zach De La Rocha on it. It's like a fast, cool song, but it's just not, it wasn't right. It wasn't right
for
the
name is Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck?
Yeah, Close Your Eyes, parentheses, and Count to Fuck.
That is so funny. That's such a good title for a song.
All right. Well, this took us through our whole episode.
That's great.
But that was a fun one.
This was a blast, yeah.
All right.
I don't know if there's a way that we can like
share our playlist,
but if we can, we'll do that.
Yeah, you know what? When this episode is released, you can just put our Spotify playlist on, like just tweet it. And the whole playlist will be there. Yeah.
No.
You're not going to do that.
No.
Well, okay. All right. You don't have to. What I do is I do this thing where when a new episode is released, occasionally I will advertise it. I will say,
really?
We released an episode of the podcast.
Those tweets, when you do that, those tweets do numbers or no?
Oh boy, do they tank. And you know, it's like Twitter's allergic to them. Like after that, if I tweet something, my engagement and spread just isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
It's like they're expecting me to get a certain amount. And if I don't, they're like, oh, this guy's putting out some stinkers now. And they just are like, don't even bother sending it to half his audience. Just give it to 10 people.
You got to do one of those things where you do like, you tweet about Dune or something like that. And then
you gotta do one of those things like tweet about Dune.
Yeah, you gotta tweet. You do one of those things like tweet about Dune, and then when that does numbers, when that's Dune great, as they say, then you reply to that with like, "Hey, this is blowing up. Listen to my shit podcast."
That's actually a great idea. I'm gonna do a tweet that I know will not be successful. I'm great at those, by the way.
Yeah.
And then underneath it, be like, "This blew up." Also,
check
out my podcast and check out this 24 minute speed run I created.
Oh,
all right. Well, everybody, you can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc on Twitter. You can follow me, Soren_LTD. I will tweet both of our playlists when this episode is released.
Tight.
And you can follow Quick Question at @QQ_SorenandDan. You can email us at QQ@SorenandDaniel@gmail.com. And you can find out more someday about our sound engineer and our editor and our producer, Gabe Harder, at GabeHarder.com. Thanks, everybody.
I wonder what Gabe listens to when he edits this podcast.
I know he knows Talking Heads. I think that he's a Talking Heads fan, but I would peg Gabe as a Neutral Milk Hotel fan.
Yeah.
Is that wrong, Gabe?
No, I'm a huge Neutral Milk Hotel fan.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Also a big Head Automatica fan.
All right.
Hey, the overlap. There's the Venn diagram overlap. It's Gabe. All right, bye.
All right, bye.